I want to share some thoughts with you this afternoon from the verses 4 and 5 of the 27th Psalm that we read just now. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. The inspired prayers of Scripture are preserved for our learning. There is no word of God, of course, that is not without benefit and profit. We know that all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable. But I think that it is particularly instructive for the child of God to see into the heart of those praying saints of old days, to look into the heart of David here and to see that which prompted and motivated him, to see that holy ambition that burned within his soul. I think it is especially instructive that the prayers of God's people of former times have been preserved for us, because surely as we look into their prayers, we see words that are in a special way born of the Spirit of God within them, words that were a delight to the ear of God as they were uttered, and prayers especially as they were answered, and the answer is recorded in Scripture. Those prayers stand as a wonderful example and illustration for us to follow in our own lives. As we look at the words recorded here in the verse 4 and 5 particularly, we see the words of the Holy Spirit that work within David in a wonderful way, inspiring him to pray, inspiring him with certain desires and ambitions that he brings to the Lord, things that he wants to see worked out in his own life. Now every word, as I've said, of Scripture is inspired. And yet here is something of particular interest to us, I think, today as we contemplate this desire that burned in the heart of this particular child of God. As we look at David's ambition, as we look at the desires of his heart, there is set before us here an ambition and a desire, a motive that God would have us to share in. After all, I think that that is why he has preserved the words for us. What benefit would it be to read of what David desired if there was not a lesson for us to learn from that? What possible use would it be to us to know the thoughts of a man of God who lived thousands of years before our time, if the Lord has not preserved them for us, that we might strive after similar ambitions, similar desires, and cry to God for such a heart as this? We have to ask ourselves at the very outset, I think, before we even begin to consider what it is that he is saying here, is there any resemblance to this kind of desire and ambition in our own heart? As individuals, we stand before God this afternoon, and in the light and scrutiny of his word, we ask ourselves the question, does my heart in any way resemble the heart of the psalmist? Does my heart in any way have within it this desire? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. If you were asked to condense, to summarize all the desires of your heart into one statement, what would it be? What would it be? You will find that in the Psalms, David makes many requests of the Lord. And yet I think that if you examine them all, Because every element of the will of God is distilled down into this one desire. Here is one thing that over and above everything else dominated his life. This is what he desired. This was his ambition. It was to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. If I were to hazard a guess, I don't think I would be very far wide of the mark by guessing that there are very few of us here today who would have thought to have written down that this was the one thing that we desired. And all that does is to prove to us how much we need the instruction of a text like this. Because here, in these words of the psalmist, is a revelation of the will of God for us. How we are to so fashion our thinking. How we are to endeavor that our heart may be conformed to this scriptural and godly model. Oh, that God would give us hearts like that which is set before us here in the word of our text today. I just want to set before you two very simple considerations this afternoon. First of all, we're going to look at the details of the psalmist's ambition. And then we're going to look at the considerations that were in his mind that fueled that ambition. But let's notice firstly the details of the ambition that he had. The desire of David's heart at this particular point is that he might be a lifelong attender at the house of God. Now that is a very basic and simple thing. And yet, I trust that as we analyze our own hearts and our own thinking, you will recognize how grand a desire it was. David desires to be found all the days of his life in the house of the Lord. He desires to be a regular, constant, habitual attender upon the place of public worship, and to find in that place the presence of God and fellowship and communion with him. I think that it is immediately obvious to us then that the house of God had a special attraction for this particular man. The house of God held a wonderful fascination for David. If you were to look, for instance, at just across the page at the Psalm 26 and the verse 8, the same writer says, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." There was a love in his heart. He's before God in prayer and confessing before the all-seeing Jehovah. He says, "Lord, you know, I have loved thy house." Can we say such a thing before God? As God who knows our hearts, as God knows our innermost thoughts and desires, can we say, "I have loved thy house. I have loved the habitation of thy house"? What's he thinking of? He's thinking particularly of the fact that that's where the Lord resided. He loved the place where the Lord dwelt. Look at the Psalm 84, the opening verse of that psalm. How amiable, how lovable, how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Now here is one of the evidences of the Christian. Here is one of the marks of the child of God, one in whom the Spirit of the Lord is at work. I have a desire for the house of God. I have loved the place where God meets with his people. I love the place of public assembly and public worship where the Lord's people gather to meet with him. And it's obvious from David's words here that he has a real interest in and a desire for the house of God. If you look at the verse 4, you will see that this was no new fancy. This was no new desire that had just recently arisen in his heart. He rather gives us to understand in this verse that this is a desire that has become settled, rooted in his heart. It has been his practice. It has been his desire now for many days. It has been a desire that he has long and often brought before the Lord in prayer. One thing have I desired of the Lord. He's speaking of past times. I have brought this to the Lord. I have sought God for this in previous times. The Lord knows that in the past my ambition has been toward the house of the Lord. It is the settled, single desire of his heart. There is nothing else has first place in David's mind. I know that in the course of our life, there are interests that rise and fall. There are interests that come and go. And as we develop and grow older and mature, even physically, growing from childhood into adulthood, there are things that at a certain phase of life we're interested in, and maybe we can even say we live for those things. For a year or two it may be this sport or that activity or the other thing. And then as we grow older we put that away and other interests take over. That often seems to be the way in life. But here is a man who can say that it has been a settled ambition now for many a long day, that I have had one thing only in my mind and in my heart, one thing that I have sought from the Lord, and that is, Lord, I want to be in your house. I want to dwell in the courts of the Lord. The Christian is one who is to have a settled heart. Not one who is to have a divided heart. It should be one thing that dominates our thinking. I want us to learn that today. There should be one thing that dominates our thinking. If you're a Christian today, there should be one desire in your mind. And it doesn't matter what your occupation in life is. It doesn't matter what your other interests are. They all should come secondary to this one thing that the psalmist speaks of. That you would be found in the house of God. The church attendance is something that really doesn't rank very highly on most modern Christians' lists of priorities. But I am setting before you today a biblical example of what our list of priorities should be. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He does not mean that 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, he's going to be in the temple. That's not what he means. Not what he means at all. David had other things, other callings in life that God had given to him, other duties and responsibilities. But what he means us to understand by these words is that continually, regularly, when it's appropriate, when there is the place and or the time of worship, when it is appointed by God to be there, he's there all the days of his life. Lord, that's what I want. I want to be found in the house of God. You remember how it is said of Mary over there in Luke chapter 10. You have very similar words used, and I believe the same ambition and desire of soul is in view. In Luke chapter 10, or 11 rather, I think it is. Luke 10 and the verse 42. Luke 10 and the verse 42. You remember, I think, the incident where the Lord comes to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Martha is preparing the meal. We're told that she's cumbered about with much serving there in verse 40. And Mary comes and sits at the Lord's feet to hear his word, verse 39. Martha comes and says, Lord, tell Mary to help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, just one. Oh, there were other important things that had to be attended to. But one thing and one thing only was really necessary. The meal had to be prepared. In a sense, food was necessary, but not as necessary as that which Mary gave attention to. One thing is needful. What was the thing needful? It was to be found in the Lord's presence, listening to His word. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Here was the good thing to do. Here was the necessary thing to do. And the psalmist David has something of the same spirit and of the same heart. There were other matters he needed to pray about, other things he would desire from the Lord, but one thing was prominent in his mind. And it wasn't just so much the fellowship and presence of the Lord, but the one thing that he had in mind was that he might dwell in the house of God. How high on our list of priorities does church attendance come? How high on our list of priorities does what David put at the top of the list come? But you'll see that it's not only a desire that he has entertained for some time, but that you will also observe that it is one which he dedicates himself to pursue in the future. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. It's something that he dedicates himself to for future days. Now maybe you're here today and you have to say, well, if I compare myself with David, I have to say I come short of that standard. I haven't lived in past days as he lived. I haven't had that desire in past times. Well, are you prepared to say with David, by God's grace from this day, that will I seek after in future times, in days to come? As he gives himself here to the pursuit of this objective in life, in days to come, will you give yourself to that same pursuit? To be found in the house of the Lord? You see how he puts it? That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. An interesting phrase. I think there's much to be learned from it. All his days are to be given to this pursuit. We're not told what age he was at this point. But he is before God now in prayer, and stating before the Lord, Lord, it's the desire of my heart that every day I live, every day I live with this objective in view. I'm going to be found in the house of God. I think there is something here of the thought of his own mortality. He knows of the limited opportunity that life has. It's just a matter of days. He perhaps is thinking of every individual day, and he's thinking, Lord, every day, though it's just such a short period of time, though every day I want to live pursuing this objective. Many Christians, and they live from one month to the next, and 30 or whatever number of days there are in the month go past, and they never once entertain the idea of going to the house of God. Not once. Many of God's people, or at least they claim to be the Lord's people, and only the Lord knows their heart, and they haven't set foot in the house of God or the place of worship or placed themselves under the preaching of God's word for years. I don't know how they can claim to be a Christian, but they do, and that's how they behave. But David says, every single day, as long as I live, this is going to be my desire. If he has in mind the thought of his own mortality, then I think that lends an interesting thought to his words, in that the days of his life are going to end. There's just such a short and limited opportunity to do anything. And very often, if we think in those kind of terms, we're going to think of the most important priorities in life. If I only have a short time to live, well, what I want to do will be the thing that is most important to me. And David, thinking of the shortness of his life here, dedicates the rest of his days to seeking the house of God and the presence of the Lord and the fellowship of God's people. Perhaps there is something even more sobering in view. He wants to live all the days of his life seeking the house of God, knowing my life is only measured in days, and soon it will end. And soon I will stand before God. And what then of all the ambitions for earthly things? I, the thought of eternity, I'm sure had an impact upon the order of priority that David had when it came to his ambitions in life. One thing I have desired of the Lord, I'm going to seek after it. I want to live in the I want to dwell in the courts of the Lord all the days of my life. Why did he say that? Because he had come to recognize that in the light of eternity, that was the only thing that mattered. That was the only thing that mattered. There wasn't anything else that mattered. Whatever we give our lives to, if it is something other than this objective that David had, to seek God, the things of God, the house of God, the Word of God, if it's anything else, it would be absolutely worthless in eternity. It would mean nothing. Absolutely nothing. You see that his ambition is to dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. David was not like so many who come to the house of God, they can't wait to get out again. Just so much trouble, so much toil, just such a nuisance. Let's get away, do something else, something more interesting. No, he says, I want to dwell there. The house of God was so attractive to him, so loved by him, so special to him, that it was his number one priority not only to go there, but to stay there. The word literally means to sit down, or to dwell, or maybe even we could use the word abide. He wanted to abide there. The duties of religion, the duties of worship, those necessary activities that he was called upon as God's child to engage in were no burden to David. He could sit there all day. He wanted to be there all day, all the days of his life. Such a spirit is very often lacking today in the hearts of God's people. Our old heart rises up and chafes under the restrictions that God lays down. We chafe under his laws. We chafe under his commandments. We chafe under the requirement to come to the house of God. And many of God's people have kicked over the traces entirely and thrown off the yoke and have loosened the bond that the gospel placed upon them. A bond of obligation to obey the commands of God and to be found in his house. But now, David, I want to dwell there. I want to dwell there. There's an interesting thought if you consider verse 4 and this desire and ambition that he had. Consider it in the light of the context of the whole psalm. It would appear from the verses surrounding our text that he is under great pressure at this particular point in time, even a threat to his life. He's ready to faint. He's in a situation where much courage is required. There is great danger. The will of his enemies, is, it seems, is going to prevail. Liars have risen against him, verse 12. Those that breathe out cruelty. there are numerous references there to those who are his enemies and his foes. Even contemplates in verse 3 an army coming against him, those who are just desirous to eat him up. There's a threat in his life. And the one thing he has on his mind is, Lord, I want to live. But I want to live to be found in the house of God. Doctors tell us that the will to live is one of the strongest forces and powers at work within the heart, mind, and soul of man. But I'm sure if we were to visit the hospice or visit someone perhaps in the intensive care unit in the hospital and ask them, why would you want to live? And they might speak about a job that they wanted to get back to, other desires and ambitions, places they wanted to go, money they wanted to earn, possessions they wanted to have, things they wanted to do. David said, Lord, here I am. I'm in danger of my life. I want to live. But Lord, I want to live for one reason. That's to be found in the house of God. That's why he wanted to live. Here was David's will to live. But he wanted to live because he wanted to enjoy the worship of God here upon earth. He wanted to be found in the house of the Lord and all that that meant for him. He doesn't so much ask for safety and deliverance that he might become king or that he might enjoy the popularity in the kingdom or that he might enjoy again the wealth and prosperity of the throne. He wants to live that he might be found in the house of God. I find that very challenging and convicting. You ask yourself, why do I want to live? Is it because we have a desire to be found in the place of worship, in the presence of the Lord? You'll see that this was a desire that he took to the Lord in prayer. That's an interesting thing. He made his attendance at the house of God a matter of prayer. Do you ever think to pray about that? Do you ever think to pray that the Lord would keep you coming to the house of God? The Lord would make it possible for you and work in the circumstances of your life to make it possible that you would be found in the house of God. That's a good prayer to pray. I know there are circumstances that develop in life and things that can come suddenly and keep us away from the house of God, but we should make it our prayer. Lord, don't let anything interfere on the Lord's day. Don't let anything interfere on prayer meeting night. Don't let anything come in the way of me getting to the house of God. You should pray like that. David did. Lord, here's my desire. And he leaves his desire before the Lord and intimates that he desires God to work out the circumstances of his life so that he may continue to be found in the house of the Lord. Turn over quickly to the Psalm 65 and the verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Here we have in this text the reason why David prayed concerning his ambition to be found in the house of God. You look carefully at the words. The man who dwells in the courts of the Lord is there because of the choice of God. Is there because God has caused him to approach. He is there because God has, look at it, made him to approach. He has caused him to dwell. He has chosen him. He has brought him there. You mightn't think it. You might never consider the fact at all, but you're here today. I'm here today because God brought you here. Because God gave you the grace to be here. Because God drew you here. It is by the grace and mercy of God that we find ourselves in the house of the Lord. And David recognizes, Lord, I have a desire to be found in the house of God. But he makes it a prayer because he recognizes only the Lord can keep me coming to the house of God. Only the Lord can work out the circumstances of my life to make that desire and ambition come to pass and to be found in God's house at every possible opportunity. I would suggest to you that this ambition is one which is fully in line with the commands of Scripture. Here is the duty of the Christian, the duty of the child of God to his God. We read those words this morning as we looked at the summary of the moral law, that it is the duty of every man, and especially of the child of God, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I would see quite easily how this ambition of David's fits within that framework. One thing have I desired. That's to be found in the house of the Lord. That's our duty. It's part of our duty to God to be found in the house of God. To be found in the house of God as often as it's possible to be there. That should be our ambition and our desire. But let me just point out quickly and secondly that his ambition was fueled by a number of considerations. First of all, you'll see that there are a variety of reasons that he gives here why he desires to be found in the house of God all the days of his life. Number one, because it was there that he could see the beauty of the Lord. It was in the house of God that he would see the beauty of the Lord. I desire to be in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. David delighted in God. Not only in the house of God or the people of God, but he delighted in God. There was a beauty. There was an attraction in God as far as David was concerned. The revealed character of God, as it is revealed in his word, was beautiful as far as David was concerned. The Lord was an object of wonder and admiration. And he desires to dwell in the house of God because that's where he would see the beauty of God. Many Christians today fail to understand the importance of public worship. Fail to understand why God has instituted that his people on his day meet together for the worship of God. Why? Here's one of the reasons. Because it's here that the beauty of the Lord is to be seen. Here that the beauty of God is to be seen as his word is opened, as Christ is preached. For after all, it is in Christ that we see the beauty of God. It is in Christ that we see all the attributes of God revealed to men in their beauty and in their fullness. The house of the Lord is to be a place where Christ is revealed. We need to understand that before we go any further, that there is no beauty about the place where Christ is not preached. For he is the beauty of God. It is in him, in his person, and in his work that we see the beauty and the glory of God revealed. So where you have no Christ, you have no beauty. And there's very little point in anyone attending a place of worship where Christ is not preached, no matter what else they have. They may have crowds, they may have all kinds of attractions, but if they don't have Christ, and if he's not preached, and the beauty of God is not set forth before men, there's no point going there. David wants to be in the place where the beauty of the Lord is set forth. Is the Lord beautiful in your eyes? As you read this Bible and you see the character of God revealed, do you love him? As you open your Bible and you see Christ and you see all the graces and the virtues and the glories of his person, do you love him? Do you say, Lord, I can't wait to the next meeting? So we get back to see Christ, see the beauty of the Lord there in the house of God. That is the chief role and function of the gospel ministry. It is to reveal the beauty of God. That's the calling of the church. But equally, it is the calling of God for every Christian to be found in the place where the beauty of the Lord is revealed in the preaching of Christ. You see, a desire to see Christ will drive the Christian to the place of public worship. You need to make the link between the two. It's a love for Christ that draws us to the place of worship, to the house of God. Carelessness about attendance at the house of God is the direct result of a disinterest in Christ. Simple. I want to be there all the time, David says, because there I see the beauty of the Lord. And Christ is the one who is the beauty of the Lord, or the delight of the Lord. Carelessness, a disinterestedness about Christ is the direct cause of carelessness about attendance at the house of God. It demonstrates a heart that is not enraptured with the beauty of the Savior. If you love Christ, if there's a beauty in Him, then you will be drawn again and again and again to the place where that beauty is revealed and exposed to view. Let's notice quickly another consideration. He desired to dwell in the house of the Lord that he might inquire of God and learn His will. To inquire in His temple, verse 4, the place of worship, the house of God, is to be a place where God's will is revealed. Do you have an interest in God's will? Every Christian should have an interest in the will of God. If you don't, you're not a Christian. If you have no interest in what God has to say, if you don't have an interest in what God's purpose for your life is, you're not a Christian. Because every new creature desires to know, Lord, what will you have me to do? Was that not the very first words that the Apostle Paul breathed as he was converted there on the Damascus Road? Lord, what will thou have me to do? David says, Lord, I've loved your house. I only want to live to be there, because there not only will I see the beauty of God revealed, but there I will learn of the will of God. That's what makes the house of God attractive. That's what makes it desirable. There are so many things that we could say about these considerations, but let me just say this. That's what constitutes a proper place of worship. That's what constitutes a God-ordered church, or at least one of the things, that there is the revelation of the will of God for the lives of men. There is the statement that this is what God says. This is what you must do. This is how you must live. We've got away from that, I think, in these days. And there is not that authoritative declaration of the will of God for the lives of His people. Yes, God has said how you should live, what you should do, where you should go, how you should dress, all those things. God has said. David says, it's in the house of the Lord I learn the will of God. You can only be ignorant of the will of God if you neglect and abstain from the place of worship and avoid attendance at the house of God. You've got to live in ignorance of what God requires on you. And when you live in ignorance, you live in disobedience. When you live in disobedience of God, there's only trouble ahead. Let me point out another consideration that's given in the verse 5, that faithful attendance at the house of God would mean that in the day of trouble there would be a refuge for him in God. The two ideas are linked here. He speaks of attending the place of worship, going to the house of God. Then he says, in the day of trouble there'll be a tent for me to hide in. I want you to make a link in your mind between the tent or the tabernacle where worship was held and the pavilion that he speaks of in verse 5. It's if you like, that he uses that word pavilion in an imaginary sense, that the Lord will, in a sense, bring him into his tent. He will preserve him. He will keep him safe. As he has gone faithfully desiring to see God, to learn of God, to the tent where worship was held, so in the day of trouble there will be a tent, if you like, where God would keep him safe. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. Perhaps there a reference even to the holy place itself. He had sought God on the basis of blood atonement by faith, though because he wasn't a priest he could never enter the tabernacle or never go on into the Holy of Holies, into the immediate presence of God. Yet by faith he had, as it were, entered that place, depending upon the blood of Christ symbolized in the blood of the Old Testament offerings. He knew what it was in the place of worship to go into the immediate presence of God. And because he had been faithful in the past, because he desired to be faithful in the place of worship in the days to come, when trouble came, there would be a place of refuge. Many Christians today find themselves in trouble and they don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. David wasn't going to be like that. He said, "Lord, I've been faithful in the house of God, and I know that when trouble comes, the Lord will be at my hand." You know that we act in our own best interest whenever we are faithful in the duties that God has given to us. Was David not acting in his own best interests here when he said, "I have put the house of God number one in my list of priorities"? Was he not acting for his own good? Trouble will come. Always comes. We're just a heartbeat from trouble. We never know what a day will bring forth. But when trouble comes, the child of God who has faithfully and diligently obeyed the Lord, and particularly been faithful in attendance at the house of God, you'll find that the Lord is there, as it were, to provide a house or a place of refuge and shelter for them. When I say today that we ought to make this our highest priority, I am simply saying and calling upon you to act in your own best interests. Do what's best for yourself by putting the Lord first in your life. We close today by asking ourselves a question. Where does the house of God feature on our list of priorities? We asked it at the beginning, I'm asking it again. Maybe I should make it two questions. Where has it featured on your list of priorities in the days that are past? Where will it feature on your list of priorities from this day? I trust that by God's grace, as we have looked at the statement of David's, that we will say, by God's grace, from this day, this is what I'm going to seek after. This one thing. I'm going to give myself to this one thing. I've only a short time here on earth, just days. But all the days of my life, I want to be faithful. And seeking out the place of worship, coming to look upon the beauty of God, to hear his will. Is that why you come to church? I know many people have different reasons for coming. Do you come to see the beauty of the Lord? Is that why you come? Do you come to hear his will? That's why David wanted to be there. That's the mark of a child of God. That's the working of the Spirit of God. I trust that these are the reasons why we're here today. We have seen even something today of the beauty of the Savior and learned something of his will. May the Lord give us grace to obey his word today for Jesus' sake. Let's bow together in prayer, please.